Now, the idea of the Shema is that it's to concentrate your attention. It's the first word. It's the first word. It's hear with understanding. And it's to concentrate your attention at the expense of everything else. And so when you're listening to, try to let everything else focus on what the words of the Shema, so that everything else in the universe gets blasted. And if you can do that in the Shema, you can do it in natural, in your life. That's the idea, okay?
Hear, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods, and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart, your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go afore me, that you may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
This thing that we studied this morning in the morning Bible study was the idea that the way you know where you are on the spiritual walk is it has to do with options. If you're in the world, if you have many options in your life, now, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks your options should be. I'm talking about what you internally believe. If you believe you have many options to do many different things, what it's meant is that you've gone back, even if you believe you have one other option to do other things, it means you've gone back to the world. You understand? The world is the place where there's options. And God, the only thing God can do when you want to be in that position is cause your worst fears to come upon you. And by the Holy Spirit, he slowly, you, with all of your strength, you try to get to the land of Goshen, where the best is. And at the same time, you're fighting against all these plagues. And pretty soon you say, screw this. I don't like this anymore. And so you say, let me out of here. So you leave in baptism. And in baptism, you leave and go into this big wilderness area. And the wilderness, by definition, if you've ever been in the desert, if you've ever spent any time in the desert, you don't have a great deal of option. Especially 6 million people traveling as one across a place where there's no water or no food, they didn't have any options. If they left the body, they died. So the wilderness then became the place of no option. It became the place where God no longer dealt with people as individuals, he dealt with them as a people. As one thing, as a new thing, a new creation, the bride. Well, the promise then enters when you cross the promise. You still, the options are not even considered. You don't even think about options. You don't, here in the wilderness, you don't like it. You have no options and you dislike it. And the promise, when you cross the promise, when you cross the Jordan, then you still have no options, but all of your no options are, how do I help someone else? In other words, your function never enters the picture. In other words, but it can't be a programmatic approach. In other words, there's nobody in the promise that's helping the homeless, for instance, or there's nobody that's, you know, you just live, and because you live, other people are helped, but there's no programs. Do you understand? And then finally, when you're on the mercy seat, you simply speak what it is. You speak what is to be. If there's ever the appearance of options, you call them forth or speak them out of existence. I mean, you never leave it. You always speak as the oracle of God. Now, it's a disturbing thing. It's a frightening thing to fall into the hands of God when you are in a place where you desire options again. Because from God's standpoint, you've tasted that which is holy and just, and you've left as a dog to return to your own vomit. And God will let you do that and take you on one or two field trips. Let you see your own vomit. Maybe rub your nose in a little bit. But pretty soon the voice of God gets dim. He just sort of takes his hands off. Because he's interested in the people. You got to get, no matter how cruel this sounds, God doesn't give a shit about the people on the earth any more than you care about your sperm cells. He cares about the people that have been joined with the egg. Now, let me show you. Then that brings up the Lord Shema. This, you've heard our Shema. This is God's Shema. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth himself. Okay, Genesis 18.
Where is that?
Malachi 3. Wow. Did you read?
The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent in the door in the heat of the day.
Now again, what's happened? They've just all been circumcised. Remember? Abraham's just been circumcised.
So they were definitely sitting.
Huh?
They were definitely
Abraham
sitting.
Abraham was sitting. He was 99 years old, just got circumcised.
Yeah.
The same have begun. And he winced and lifted up his eyes and looked.
What?
Sorry. What did you
say? Know what? In the other dispensations, you had been killed for doing
Sorry.
That.
Sorry. Yeah.
You're lucky in this dispensation.
Holy. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind them. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken with age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, Am I waxed old? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also?
No, what she's saying, that she had never won past menopause.
Right.
And he couldn't get it up anymore.
Well, that's what she said.
Well,
shall I have pleasure
now
that I'm
all? He's old too? Verse 11, stricken with age. Well stricken age.
You like that one? You want to trade places?
Stricken in age.
I am well stricken in age.
Well stricken.
This is a funny phrase.
Well stricken.
Like yeah, stricken in black
old. I'm going to be 53 years old pretty soon.
October of the
East. No.
What?
Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, am I waxed old? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I in surety bear a child which I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah
now,
not...
stop a minute. At the time appointed, at the appointed time, it's the feast day. It's the Moed in Hebrew. It means at the feast day, is what they're saying, I shall return unto you, and thou shalt have a son.
So was Isaac born on a feast day?
Yeah. Which one? Well, I mean, I believe he was born in Rosh Hashanah. And the Holy Spirit came unto Sarah on Hanukkah.
That's what I was going to say. This is talking about conception.
So it's sort of funny that Sarah and Mary didn't have exactly the same reaction to the Annunciation.
Yeah.
Then Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh. For she was afraid, and he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Yeah.
Now, let's go ahead and read. Go ahead and finish the chapter.
Okay. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken.
Okay, what he did is, in the loins of Abraham, he saw Christ.
Wow.
I mean, that's the fulfillment of it.
Wow. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know.
Okay, now, what you have to do is, I mean, this is momentous, but we have to see that Passover, that this is the Passover season, the 8 days of Passover. Abraham fed the three on Passover. And so the three, but you notice the interchange, it changes, and we'll see that in a minute. Some says, the pronoun says three, and sometimes one's three, one, three, one. Well, this is the first instance in the scriptures about the Trinity. but it's more than that. It's a conceptual thing that we'll get into in a minute. But he was fed on the first day of Passover. Now Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed on the eighth day of Passover. Spiritually, what there's a lot of, I mean, Isaac cannot have been born until Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed. By the same token, in this type, we'll see that the wedding feast cannot take place until Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed. So, and that's what has to happen in us. Okay.
And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are there? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall like
Abraham, you're pushing it here.
Yeah. Boy, this section always makes me real nervous. Really nervous.
Well, it gives you the limits of the...
She was
unlucky. I mean,
he was just like Moses.
Shall not the judge of all the earth do the right thing? Come on, God, do the right thing.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Peradventure, there shall like five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of five? said, if it's been 40 and 5, I will not destroy it.
But you're pushing me.
Yeah. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry.
This sounds like Rick. This sounds like Rick.
I don't know about this. And by the way,
peradventure there shall be 30 shall be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. He said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place.
Okay, and that's the beginning. That's where the idea of minion comes from. The idea that the church has to have 10 people at rest. And that's, you know.
Less than 10, he didn't say, if I found one or two, no. It'd be 10.
Yeah, he pushed it just as far as.
But the idea of 10 is real important. You can't become a church, you can't become a body if there's less than 10. Just a Bible study. When something mystical happens at 10, and we've experienced it. Mm-hmm. And then, but it's by the same token, something terrible, bad mystical happens if there are 20. There's too damn many is what happens. Mm-hmm. You can't, the dynamics are wrong. So that's why, if throughout, and we'll see, you all know it, but it's revolutionary to the modern man, that the idea that the church has to have at least 10, but no more than 20 people.
You can sense it, too. I mean, without even doing a head count, like 22, you can just...
It's all
really
strange.
It goes... All the pronouns vary from they to him, to they to him, to they to him, your hearts. They said, him. He said... So it's the three, there's three people appearing, three beings appear, but somehow because of the use of the pronouns, and it's far more pronounced in Hebrew, it varies from the three become one to three to one to three to one to three to one. Now, other than the aspect of the Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which this is an obvious reference to, they're also, a man named Philo, who was a rabbi, Jewish rabbi about the time of Christ, he wrote extensively, and he really prepared the minds of people to understand the mysticism of Christ. But he said that there were three levels of understanding that man was capable about God, and that's what was represented here. He said, all men can look and see that there had to be a creator. And so the lowest form of life there is, the lowest form of recognition of anyone that has any awareness of life is that they can know God as creator. He just dismissed anybody that said there was no God. He thought they were just fools, just ignorant fools. And that's the first level then is that they can know God as the power, the dynamis of creation. The second level and very few men know this, is that God is in the position of rulership. It's like that there's no such thing as this allegedly permissive will of God, but God is in fact the ruler of all things. And he is in control of every element of your life and my life, and there are no accidents. And that's very few people know that level of awareness of God. And the third level of God is to know God as the essence or the logos of your life and all life. And it's the Word made flesh. And Philo was the first one to talk about the Word or the Logos becoming flesh and incarnate. And that's what, of course, happened in Christ. So those three levels are what are represented here at this final stage when finally Abraham was circumcised. It took him all these years to get to come to the circumcision, to be ready for the circumcision. And spiritually, the circumcision means that you no longer require the praise of men. Once you no longer require the praise of men in your activities, in your functioning, you don't care what somebody thinks about what you say or don't say, you don't need their stamp of approval on what your thought process is. You know who you are. Then you can know this level. Does everybody understand that? Now, this is not really three, or not really three men, but it represents what you can know about God, how men can know about God. Now, if you're taking notes, I love all this. It's like the way this group takes notes to get ready so that they can teach Monday.
What are your memories? Audio memories.
The lowest category in the Septuagint, when it uses the word theos. And that means that alludes to God as the creator. The next highest category are those who recognize that God rules the world. And the scripture uses the word kairos, Lord. This alludes to the power of ruling the world. And these two are the domain of what the senses can see and perceive. You can know by your senses, theos, and you can know by your senses, Kairos, but you cannot know by your senses, logos, essence. Because logos looks like everything else. Understand? There's no form, there's no comeliness that when you see him that you should desire him. There's no beauty that you should be attracted to him. He's without form. He grows before you as a root out of dry ground. There is no thing that you can define except speaking to your heart. Your heart demands to know logos, and that's the only thing that will satisfy your heart. Now, Philo never achieved it. He believed you could achieve it. He said, no man has ever achieved it. He believed you could achieve logos by the highest order of reason. And that's what he devoted his life to. He never reached it. Now, the three intermediaries met Abraham. He raised his eyes and saw three men. He saw and welcomed the three visitors into his household. The household was his vessel, his inner being. He welcomed. He saw the three. He saw with his eyes because he had heard with his ears. You understand that? Now we come to why God created us the way we are. What you hear is what you will see. What you see is what you will do. Now he heard because he heard. He saw the three. He then saw the three. He welcomed them into his inner being. All three. Now, God, Logos, enters or is revealed in the house, provided that your inner house had been arranged in the same way that Abraham had arranged and had gone through the whole testing process in the same way Abraham had gone through the testing process. And that's when life begins for Abraham, only after all of the tests, only after all of the trials. Only after the inner house was arranged, and then logos can enter, or logos can be revealed, really, in that house. Now we're going to see, in Abraham's style, the house was arranged to accept or to have logos revealed by the passage of time. Now that's a blessing. That's, for us to know that is really important. Otherwise, we get all screwed up. And we know that the house was arranged by trial and error. The house was arranged by him being out there. The end result of it all was the Holy Spirit arranged the house to accept.
Yeah, Abraham didn't arrange it.
Well, Abraham just lived. He said, I don't want to do that. He just went out and did stuff. He says, I don't want to do that anymore. Do you realize that that's what we've done? I mean, if we don't have any great deal of righteousness around here. We haven't done anything very right. But all we've done is that we've gone around and said, okay, we've done this, now I don't want to do this anymore. And that's all you have to do. But it requires honesty. So anyway, Abraham was able to arrange his house by the passage of time, by the simple fact of, I don't want to do this anymore. Then the next one that came along was Isaac. And Isaac arranged his house for the acceptance of Logos. But I mean, it was like instant revelation. He had it when he was like 21 years old, 22 years old, they say. Maybe some say it was even before that. Some say it was at 13 he saw. But what did it cost him? It cost him everything. It cost him his life. There was a knife at his throat. And to have the instant revelation cost him everything. Everybody thinks they want instant revelation. Just accept, just drink the cup that God has given you and don't want anything more than you got. And so that, the end result of Isaac's testing was that his house was arranged so that Logos could occupy. And the next test was, the next thing that happened was with who? Jacob. Jacob was the fight. Everything was a struggle, a fight. The end result of the fight was he, when morning broke, he walked differently and his house was arranged so that he could reveal, or be revealed, Logos. Well, that's fundamentally what we're about. That's what discipleship is about. It's to arrange the house, the acceptance of Logos, or essence. When you do that, again, Logos or essence means that nothing that's time dependent can have any store in here. Logos requires that everything that's time dependent be pushed to the wall so that the house is arranged by how you perceive time, by the timelessness of the things that you hold important. And when you do that, then the house is arranged in perfect order, and the glory of the Lord can fill his temple. Hallelujah. You all know, I mean, I can sense that. You all know what I'm saying is right. I'm not quite too sure how to get there from here, but there's something there that the glory of the Lord desires to fill this temple. Not this one, all of you. You are the temple of God. And that's why I push you to the wall. And I'll continue to push you to the wall until all of the furniture is arranged so that it's all the timelessness is the only thing that you give importance to. Peace.
I don't know why tonight, but I'm real, I seem real interested in the idea that it's, that Abraham's sexuality died. It was dead. And Sarah's sexuality was dead.
Yeah, no,
their relationship in terms of being able to have children was dead. And then it was resurrected.
They had no capacity to generate their own life.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's just, to me, that's just really strong.
Now, Abraham saw this divine Logos at the end of, but he only saw it when he had no capacity to create his own life. Now, Abraham did that so that we don't have to wait till we're 99. We can do it by empathy now. We can see the vanity. We can push the vanity. I mean, whole lot of stuff that you know is futile and vain that someone else next to you doesn't know, that they still think. But if we are considered as one, then just with what's in this room, there's nothing in the universe that we as a person, as one, would think we would give any importance to except God. Because as there are different aspects that every one of us still see that is important in time. I mean, oh, this is important, this is important. But someone else knows it isn't. You understand? So it's like a giant chess game in the sky. And you cancel out, I mean, my perception of the vanity of making money cancels out you still think the fact that you need money. Or, you know, whatever it is. And then your understanding of the vanity of other things cancels out something. I mean, so that's what knits us together in love. That's why we need each other so badly.
Yeah, that's why it's important to talk too.
Yeah, because it's never for your own benefit. It's always for someone else's benefit that you talk. Capisce?
Yeah.
Now, he left Ur. Where do you live? I live in Ur.
Ur, the Chaldees.
He went to that. I can't say that Jewish thing. No, but if I say it, then I can't get the next syllable. Do you know what I mean? It's Charran. Charran. But if I say that right, then I can't get the next syllable out.
That's why your mouth is full of gross stuff.
Huh?
Your mouth is full of gross stuff.
No,
you
can't
do the first syllable.
Anyway, Charran means holes or orifices. What allegory, it means. What happens with this Charran or Haran is that it means that Abraham allegorically went inward. He went into himself and explored inward for 15 years. And in there he found nothing. And when he found nothing inward, then he went to the promise. So the idea of the Charran experience is—it's almost like it's the New Age experience. I'm a nice person. I'm every day in every way. You know, it's the conning of yourself. It's going inward. And he went inward and then saw the end of it. And then when he saw the end of the inward experience or the inward life, then he was able to enter the promise. Now, some of you are still at that. Story. Go to John 8. John 7:53 through 8:11 was added by a scribe in Ephesus about 3.
Because he was committing adultery.
Anyway, John 8. Do you think the scribe's name was Harry?
No. She said, it's a theory. Fear what you will.
Too much time to put
in.
So,
how did the 7:53 through 8:11 get in there?
I thought it was around
your kills. No, this was afterward. This was during New Testament times they added it. New Testament. That's why the New Testament had 15,000 different consoles. James wasn't in the Bible for the first 400 years, nor was the book of Revelation. In the New Testament period, it's just...
Did you say take a big
guy? Take a big guy.